At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating, Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our thoughts on a couple of restaurants you may want to try. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She is a writer whose work has appeared in a number of local outlets, including Eater, The Infatuation, and of course, Culture Map. Brianna McLean, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for doing this. Look, before we dive into the news of the week, you want to just introduce yourself for people who may be hearing you for the first time?
Yeah, absolutely. So you may have seen my byline on Culture Map. Eric has very graciously allowed me to write about food as well as real estate and any other kind of articles that he can throw my way and that I have the time to do. I started my career here in Houston at Cron for Houston Chronicle. So I've been writing about food since about early 2023 and about Houston in general since 2022. I'm a native Texan and I love Houston. I'm so glad to be here. And I'm just always thankful for the opportunity to write about this city and all the amazing people in it.
Well, you've been very helpful to me because editing and writing is tricky. And so you've taken some of the stuff off my plate, the listicle-y kind of stuff, that the holiday guides and stuff that I struggle to make time for. So I appreciate it. I'm glad you're here. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, it is Houston Restaurant Weeks, which is running now through September 1st. The event raises money for the Cleverly Stone Foundation, which makes a big donation to the food bank. It was about $2 million in 2024, so that's an effect that people can feel. I thought it would be fun to suggest a couple of restaurants for people to try because there are something like 400 locations. So I've given you three categories: date night, dinner with friends, and someplace you've never been before that you want to try. So why don't we start with date night? Brianna, what is your date night pick for Houston Restaurant Weeks?
You know, Brenner's on the Bayou is on the list. And I feel like if you really want to impress a date, if you really want, you know, the epitome of romance, that's a great option. You can fall in love over filet mignon. But of course, if you're looking for a little bit more casual, I can't stop raving about Himari in Garden Oaks for sushi. So that's one of my picks for date nights.
Yeah, no, I think Himari is a really good pick. I mean, Brenner's is a Houston classic, and it's such a pretty location. But yeah, Himari's fun. It's a casual sushi bar. It's got a good pedigree. It's the Handy's Dozo, Aiko guys. So no, I think that's a good pick. All right. For my date night, I'm going fancier. I'm going to hit that $55 menu at Chardon, the French restaurant in the Thompson Hotel. I've talked about it on the show a couple of times. And I'm so impressed by what E.J. Miller is doing there. You know, I think you could have fun with that onion soup, the smoked salmon rillettes, the beef cheek bourguignon is excellent. If you're feeling spendy, 15 extra ducks gets you there. Rohan duck with pickled sweet cherries and duck confit croquettes. So a lot to like at Chardon for date night. It's also a really pretty room. And if it goes really, really well, hey, the Thompson Hotel is right above you.
Should we relax, get a nightcap upstairs? Slip into something more comfortable.
There's a staycation package, so I booked a room. You want to see it?
Yeah, I love it.
Does that work? Probably not.
Maybe, honestly.
All right, so my next one is dinner with friends. What was your dinner with friends pick?
You know, I recently went to Solarium, and I feel like that's a really cute place to go with friends. Whenever I go with my friends, I like to go somewhere that's kind of vibey, that where we can dress cute, but we don't have to worry too much about impressing people as well. I really love the hamburger there. I loved their burger. But, you know, I don't play pickleball. So if you want to sweat after eating, you absolutely can, you know, enjoy drinks and dinner with friends and then go sweat it out at pickleball or vice versa. But then Winnie's is also, I feel like, a great option without the threat of exercise. Like, there's going to be no pressure there to have to, you know, hit the court. So I'd say either of those.
Well, and the fun thing about Winnie's is they did this last year and they're doing it again. It's an homage to Luby's. So that menu is, it's all the stuff they're not doing the square fish this year. They did that last year, but they've, but there's some really fun stuff on that menu. Like the chicken fried chicken or the Salisbury steak.
I saw the banana pudding.
You got to get banana pudding.
Yep.
You got to get the banana pudding. All right. Let's see. For me, for someplace to go with friends, there's a lot of, there's a couple of dim sum places, and I always feel like dim sum is fun in a group. So give me Dozone Dumpling House, the Seattle-based dim sum chain with 4 Houston area locations, because you get something like 6 courses for your $39. That includes, one of those courses is tea, but still. So yeah. you get soup dumplings, you get haigao, you get chung fung, you get all the things that you want. At a dim sum restaurant at a very affordable price. And I always feel like dim sum is more fun with friends. So give me Dozone Dumpling House as my friend's pick. And then someplace you haven't been yet that you are dying to try.
You know, I am almost ashamed to admit this, and I hope that the Houston foodies don't ban me for this, but I have actually never been to BCN. It's been on my list for a really long time. And so I think that they just have a great offering for Houston Restaurant Weeks. And so I'd really like to take advantage of that. Obviously, I need to make my reservation as soon as possible so I can get in there. But that's really what I love about Houston Restaurants Weeks, is that it makes, you know, those more high-end restaurants more affordable for, you know, the population that might not be able to visit them any other time.
Right. Now, I think you may even be a little bit late on making that reservation. You may have to take one of those 5 p.m. or 9:30 kind of slots. But I will say, I had a conversation recently with Chef Luis at BCN. They participated for the first time last year. It went very well from his perspective. Mm-hmm. They're excited to do it again. And the nice thing about the BCN menu is they give you basically the whole menu, like all the stuff that they're known for. You may have to pay a little extra for some of it. And I think you should, if you want, like you definitely want the suckling pig. If you've never been there before, the suckling pig is the thing to get. And I know that's another 15 or 20 bucks, but it's completely worth it. So, mm-hmm. you know, take advantage of those supplements and you can have a really, really great experience at BCN, which we should say has a Michelin star, one of the Houston restaurants with a Michelin star. So 3 courses, 55 bucks with a supplement or two. It's a really nice evening.
Absolutely. I think we should also add, though, that the first meal you and I ever had together was because of Houston Restaurant Weeks. It was at Prime 131.
Yes, that is true. And I noticed that they, Chef Teddy Lopez is there now, who mm-hmm. people, you know, he was kind of Ronnie Killen's right hand for a long time at the steakhouse, mm-hmm. at the barbecue place, and a bunch of other places. And I think one of the things Prime 131 does well is it's good for a group. So, mm-hmm. you know, I know we mentioned a couple other places in our dinner with friends, but they've got a big menu. And so if you want to be, you know, 2 couples on a date night, or 6 people as a group of friends, or even 8 people, you could do that at Prime 131 really comfortably. And that Houston Restaurant Week's menu will accommodate just about everybody, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. As you might imagine, it's hard for me to find a place that I haven't been. So it's going to take me, so this pick is going to take me pretty far afield, but I have heard so many good things about Anthony's Market Grill, which is like way out in the Richmond area in Fort Bend County. And for $39, 3 courses, like that looks pretty good to me. And it's comfort food. It's Wagyu meatloaf and shrimp and grits and chicken fried chicken and all that stuff. But that all sounds pretty good to me. And one of the dessert choices is coconut cream pie. which is always one of my favorites. So maybe it's time, maybe it's finally time to make the drive to Simonton to check out Anthony's Market and Grill.
I've also heard really great things about it as well. So I think that's a perfect choice.
And then let's move on to topic number two. This is a big one for me. Riel Restaurant, the Montrose staple since 2017, announced that it is going to close on August 30th. Look, I mean, Riel has been an indelible part of the show from the very beginning. Ryan Lachane, the chef and owner, has been on any number of times, both as a guest. He co-hosted once or twice. He's participated in a draft episode or two. So this is a restaurant. Also for me, you know, in 2019, I was tasked with ranking Houston's 100 best restaurants. I put Riel at number one. And I think even if I had to do that exercise over again, it would still be in the top 10 or 15 for me. This is a place that I've been to many times over the years. So as much as I try not to get attached, and Brianna, as you explore your time as a food writer, you know, it's easy to root, but you can't, you know, we're wrong a lot. Places I've loved have closed, places I don't like have thrived. Yeah. It's hard to get it's easy to get attached. So this one stinks a little bit.
Yeah.
And no, I will say I talked to Ryan last week as this announcement was coming out, and I know it's been a very difficult decision for him. He sounded a little relieved, I would say, more than anything, mm-hmm. that he had sort of accepted this reality and was now sharing it with the world. And the one other thing I want to add is that I got a phone call from another chef who knows Ryan, knows me, and I'm not going to say his name because I didn't get his permission in advance to name drop him, so I'm not going to. But he made the point that, like, this shouldn't be, I mean, it is sad that the restaurant is closing, but they should also be applauded for how hard they've worked to be as successful as they have, that 8 years for an independently owned, chef-driven place is a good run. And mm-hmm. if we look at some of the other leading lights in the Houston restaurant world over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, you know, that's about how long they last. Underbelly, Oxheart, you know, it closed, became Theodore Rex, and now Theodore Rex is getting to be about 8 or 9 years old. So, you know, it's just, you know, these really ambitious chef-driven concepts, it's hard. They're hard to sustain. They're hard to make profitable. They take a lot of energy. And, you know, the one thing that I want to, the two things I really want to say about Riel are thank you for so many great meals over the years. And of course, I will be there this month. I have one reservation. I suspect there will be another one or two before it's over, because I need the caviar tots in my life. I need the butter burgers. I need that stuffed cabbage. I need the mm-hmm. mushroom empanadas. I need that Dr. Pepper cake they do. I need that sticky toffee pudding. I need all of those things at least once more. And last thing on this, and obviously Ryan will come on the show in September, and we'll hash this all out in a more extended way. But, you know, I remember in 2017, like the week before my top 100 came out, I took my family there for dinner because I wanted them to sort of be like, all right, here you go. Like, this is my pick for the best restaurant in Houston. It was locked in, you know, it was all formatted and written and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think they kind of looked at me like I was a little crazy. Because it's not like, they're like, you mean like it's not Tony's, it's not Underbelly, right. it's not any of these other, but it's not, you know, it's like, no, like this is it. Like this is the place that I feel welcome. Mm-hmm. This is a place that's been consistently excellent across multiple visits. This is a place that works really hard every night, that changes their menu often enough to keep things interesting. Like, this is the place where if you were like, pick anywhere to eat tonight, this is where I want to go more often than not. So it's a very special restaurant for me. I'm obviously going to miss it very much, but credit to Ryan Lachane and the whole team and everyone who's ever worked there that I've interacted with over the years for everything that they've done for me. And so, you know, my message to anyone listening to this is go to Riel, go and celebrate with the staff. They've given us this month to say goodbye. And so I hope as many people as possible take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
All right. And then last one, topic number three, Shipley Donuts has a new owner. It has been sold to a California-based private equity firm called Levine Leichtman Capital Partners. You know, Brianna, I talked about this on the CityCast podcast with Raheel Ramzanali last week. Mm-hmm. As I said there, and as I'll say to you, I don't understand the collective freak out about this. It is already, because Shipley hasn't been family owned in 5 years. It was already sold to a private equity firm. And as far as I could tell, the private equity firm was good for Shipley. They opened a new headquarters. They've added a bunch of locations. Mm-hmm. They're now in 14 states. They have almost 400 outposts. So I don't know. What's your take on this? Are you concerned? You know, Raheel's message was basically, don't Whataburger my Shipley.
I think that's exactly the concern is, you know, Whataburger is just, and I know you and Raheel have talked about this before as well, but it's just not the same Whataburger that I grew up with. And so I think a lot of people have the fear that Shipley's is going to go the same route. I personally live very close to the original Shipley's on Ella. So my Shipley's is a little bit different than everybody else's. I don't have too much concern about Shipley's in general, as long as they leave Ella alone.
Well, yeah. What's funny about your Shipley is that it's the only one that is actually Shipley's, because their sign has the apostrophe S. Every other Shipley is just doesn't have the apostrophe S. And when people call it Shipley's, I sort of roll my eyes at them. But yours in Garden Oaks, that is the only true Shipley's.
But it's true. I mean, I did notice that a Shipley opened just recently as well, right down the highway from me. And so, I mean, it seems like it's thriving, it's doing well. And it's really hard to do donuts wrong, I feel like. I mean, it's fried dough. Like, it's possible, but
there are better and worse. There's another national chain in Houston. Mm-hmm. And they are very prominent, well-located. I find their donuts to be too chewy, mm-hmm. and too sweet, which I know sounds like a crazy thing to complain about a donut.
No, yeah.
But, you know, there has to be, it can't be just like cloying, you know, it has to be, so it's a fine line. Shipley does that well, and a hot, a glazed Shipley fresh out of the fryer is just a thing of beauty.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, it's a testament to Houstonians' loyalty that Krispy Kreme has essentially completely failed every time they've tried to come into this market. They just can't get any traction because our civic affection for Shipley is so well established. So,
yeah, no, you know, I actually have brought that up with my family because I'm originally from Texas, but not from Houston. And I find it interesting that I feel like most restaurants or chains in Houston don't do as well within the loop because we're much more likely to support our local places than we are to go to, you know, a chain. In fact, we went to Voodoo Donuts on Friday night, you know, just a perfect little hit of sugar after drinking while playing Uno with some friends. And the next day, Craig, my boyfriend, was like, was Shipley's open? Why did we go to Voodoo? We should have gone to Shipley's. And I was like, well, yes, that's true. Voodoo's was a little too sweet for me. So
no, they're too big and they're too sweet. Yeah. I like how creative the Voodoo designs are. I think they're fun, but they don't taste good.
No, they don't. Yeah. You know. I kind of like deconstructed mine because, as I said, I was a little tipsy, but I regretted it afterwards.
Right. No, if you want to come back at me and say, well, you know, Christie's makes a superior donut. Christie's is a monstrous institution. I will not say anything bad about Christie's. Those donuts are great. And if you live in that area, please patronize it forever and ever.
Yeah, their kolaches are some of my favorites. Queen Donuts is not as well known unless you're in the Lazy Brook, Timber Grove area, but that's where I frequent constantly. And their powdered donuts are some of my favorites. So it's always nice to have those little neighborhood joints that you can support.
Yes, always, always. All right. Any other thoughts on the Shipley acquisition?
I think we just have to wait and see.
No, I think that's right. And I think that we'll know how it's going if they keep running those kind of Houston-centric specials, right? They did a special donut for 713 Day with the Be Someone graphic on it. They've done Cougar Paws every time the UH basketball team does well in the NCAA tournament or the football team is playing in a bowl game. So if they keep that kind of local perspective, mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good sign, because that's a very easy thing for venture capital to cost cut, right? Yes. Like there's not, yeah. there's probably not a lot of profit in the Be Someone Donut, but it looks cool on social media mm-hmm. and it enhances people's loyalty to the brand. So if they keep doing stuff like that, I think we're in good shape. And if they stop doing stuff like that, look out.
Yeah, we'll know.
We'll know. All right. Brianna, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurants of the week. Stick around. Brianna, for our restaurants of the week, I have two places to talk to you about. Let's start with Kitchen Rumors. This is the new restaurant off of Washington Avenue from Chef Jossi Bindra and the team behind Amrina. And it's kind of a fun spot because what they're doing essentially is taking Indian flavors, Indian techniques, and then applying that to different global ideas, food ideas. So start at the beginning. I mean, just, you know, what were your thoughts on the design and the overall experience of Kitchen Rumors?
You know, I really loved it. I felt like, you know, you walk in, it's very comfortable and bright and fun. It's not trying too hard though, so it feels very approachable. It's really interesting because, you know, it wasn't too long ago that they also opened Bowl, their kind of Chipotle style version of Indian food. And so now it feels like they have almost all the three levels of price points with Amrina, now Kitchen Rumors, and then Bowl, which I really appreciate. But I just remember sitting down and looking around and noticing so many families and friends gathered there. So it feels like a place you can go and get drinks at the bar and some delicious food with friends at, or, you know, you can go for a family dinner night. I could definitely see taking my kiddos there or, you know, going on a date as well.
Yeah. You know, this is a space that's been a few things over the years. I think a lot of people will remember it as the original location of Beavers, this kind of modern barbecue ice house concept. It was Decatur, a pop-up space and bar and restaurant that was a showcase for Evelyn Garcia before Top Chef, before she opened June. And then most recently it was Xin Chow, the kind of modern Vietnamese restaurant from Christine Ha and Tony Nguyen that did very well, won the Culture Map Tastemaker Award for Best New Restaurant, got a couple of James Beard finalist nominations. So And I think generally speaking, the renovations are effective. You know, it's mm-hmm. it feels good in there. It's comfortable. The lighting is that right level to make everybody look good. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, I mean, the worst thing about it is what has always plagued that space, which is tricky parking.
Absolutely.
But I think it feels good in there. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I mean, there was a level of excitement in the dining room. People, you know, they. Even Interloopers, I think, have come to recognize Amrina as a really outstanding Indian restaurant. I think there's a lot of curiosity about Kitchen Rumors. And just on a personal note, I was excited to see Mike Raymond, who I know from his time as the former owner of Reserve 101, working the floor as a general manager. It's nice to see Mike like back in a kind of a public-facing role mm-hmm. with a sport coat on, kind of threw me off. It's like, you're not supposed to be dressed up. That's not your vibe. But all right, let's talk about the food. What were some of your favorite dishes from our meal at Kitchen Rumors?
You know, I was going through the list of everything we ate, and we ate so much.
Yeah, we should say we were their guests, and yes. They basically threw the whole menu at us.
Yes, and it was a delightful experience. I also really appreciated, you know, I have some food allergies, so I really appreciated their attention to detail about those. I think that that's really important for a lot of people, is knowing that, you know, the kitchen and the staff are paying attention to what you can't eat. And so some changes were made specifically for me, and I really appreciated that, while, you know, the rest of the table got to eat the dish as it's prepared. You know, the first bite that we started with was the roasted oyster tikka. And I felt like that really kind of set the mood for the entire meal. You know, it really kind of merged multiple cuisines together. You know, we had the Gulf Coast like kind of vibe with the oysters. We had the chimichurri, and then of course the tikka and the Indian flavors too. So that, I think once I had that, I was like, oh, okay, now I know what, like, what this restaurant's trying to do. Because I think how, when it first was announced, which I wrote the article actually about its opening, the kind of kitchen rumors explanation was a little bit confusing. And so it wasn't really clear, I guess, what they were trying to do. But once you go into the restaurant, then you can understand how the dishes are talking to each other.
I think that's right. And I think, you know, you mentioned that they modified a couple of the dishes for your food allergies. Mm-hmm. One of them was one of my favorites, that infladita, which mm-hmm. is kind of a, somewhere, but you know, it's like a pani puri basically, but you kind of build it yourself with the avocado puree or the lamb keema or the tamarind and mint chutney. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's a little bit interactive. It's a little engaging. You can kind of tweak it to your own taste. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really smart. You know, obviously I'm never going to say no to a lobster dumpling.
yes.
You know, lots of lobster flavor in the lobster dumpling, mm-hmm. you know, and then there's that blue cheese chicken kebab, which you can kind of tell what they're doing. It's kind of an Indian spice take on it's buffalo chicken with an Indian twist. And I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, no, the infladada was also one of my favorites. I remember when it came out, I was like, I don't know if I just was imagining it just like disintegrating into my lap because A, I'm clumsy, and B, I wasn't sure if it could hold up to, you know, the fillings that you put into it. But that was absolutely delightful. I could imagine going back, sitting at the bar, ordering that and enjoying their really good cocktails. And it's funny that you mentioned the blue cheese kebab, because I don't know if you remember, but that was one of my least favorites. But Craig, my boyfriend, loved it, which makes sense because it is, like you were saying, it's very much kind of a twist on a buffalo chicken wing. So,
you know, one of the ones that I think we all really liked was the paneer kikori, which they have eat me like a taco.
Yes.
You know, a little bit PG-13 in the dish name, but you know, that creamy cheese, the you know, the non-wrapper, I mean, the mm-hmm. just everything about the way that dish was presented and prepared was very memorable, and mm-hmm. one of the ones that I'll go back for. And then of course we had to get, you know, I get made fun of this by everyone because I always want the chicken at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I understand. But this is a whole chicken that's baked in dough. It's presented in carved tableside, and it's got a lot of spice to it. It's really tasty. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my only disappointment was that, you know, they bring it out to you and then carve it tableside. And so you actually get to see the wheat dough crust that they bake it in. And you know me, I love a good pastry. And so when I didn't get to taste that, that beautiful golden pastry, I was like, but wait, but it wasn't needed. Absolutely. I mean, the chicken itself is full of flavor. The sauce that accompanies it as well, really adds to the experience too.
Right. And of course we had our friend Emily with us, our pain in the ass pescatarian. and there's a branzino, a beautifully seared piece of fish with the green herbs mm-hmm. and the black dried lime. I think I only got a small bite of that because Emily ate it so fast.
Yeah, she was basically like spooning up the green herb concoction that the fish is placed upon. And I don't blame her. She let me have a couple of bites before she ate it all. And it was really good. I always, whenever I order a main, I always like to see what it's served with, because that's always a big part of it for me. And so I would definitely go back and get the branzino. And like you said, it was crispy. It was perfectly cooked.
All right. So you mentioned you didn't like the buffalo chicken. Was mm-hmm. there anything else that missed for you? I mean, my memories are that this was a pretty successful meal overall.
Oh, absolutely. No, I agree with you. You know, the Atta chicken, I know that it was one of your favorites. I probably wouldn't need to order it again. I think it's definitely something that you can order if you want the experience. But I'm also just not a big chicken person. So that could be playing a part into it. We haven't even talked about dessert, Eric. We had all of the desserts.
We had all of the desserts, yes. As I said, they threw the whole menu at us.
Yes. And then we also had some Jell-O shots as well. Remember those?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Yeah, lots of fun cocktails. Mm-hmm. Kitchen Rumors. It's a big part of what they're doing. and with some non-alcoholic options for people who aren't drinking. So that's always, always a welcome choice. You know, I will say of the desserts, the chocolate cardamom mousse really stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm never going to be, you know, custardy desserts are never my first choice. So the panna cotta mm-hmm. and the orange and saffron flan, not my first choices, but the gulab jamun, the kind of the twist on the honey balls with the pecan pie cookie bar, that was quite tasty.
Yeah, it was a great combination of, you know, the crunch of the cookie bar and then the lemon curd on top, which I love. I love anything with lemon curd. No, I'm not a huge flan person, but I did really enjoy the flan there. And I didn't get to try the panna cotta, but Craig has been raving about it since that night. So I'm sure he just keeps saying, I want to return and get that dessert. So that will be, I guess, in the future for us.
Yeah, you guys can go back for oysters and bronzino and, the lamb chops that we didn't talk about, but were were very tasty.
And the butter chicken ramen as well, we didn't talk about, but that was also really good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go, you know, I was raving about La Tuli last week, and I said that it was one of my favorite new restaurants of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so intrigued by everything that we had at Kitchen Rumors. I want to go back just to kind of see if they can do it again.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, was it as good as I thought it was, or was it, you know, the company and the cocktails kind of influencing my mood?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm certainly more intrigued by it. You know, and I've liked my meals at Amarina, but you know, the Woodlands is far away. Kitchen mm-hmm. Rumors, relative to where I live, is much easier. And so, you know, I'm intrigued and I'd like to go back, sometime soon.
Absolutely. Me too. Yeah. And we didn't get a chance to try as many mains. I think that we really focused on the appetizers, which was a good decision, but I'm excited to go back and try some more of the main entrees.
All right. And then for our second restaurant of the week, just briefly, I want to talk about Alora. This is a Vietnamese Peruvian restaurant in the former Cow Boss space in Montrose. And I know Vietnamese Peruvian sounds a little strange, but if you think about it, there's chaufa, which is Peruvian and Chinese fusion. And there's Nikkei, which is Peruvian and Japanese fusion. So it's a very Houston thing, I think, to look at those two cuisines and say, oh, well, we can take like Vietnamese flavors and throw them at Peruvian and have a little fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Brianna, what did you think about? Like, we did not go, just to be clear, we did not go to this together. We went separately, but within a couple mm-hmm. weeks of each other. And I think, you know, I've had trouble convincing the other co-host to take a chance on Alora with me. So this is a good time to talk about it. So what did you think of your meal at Alora?
You know, I was writing about Alora before I got to go. And so it's always lovely when I get to go visit the restaurants and really understand kind of the vision of the restaurants and the dishes that I'm describing. So this for me, I was intrigued. And then but I feel like it really delivers. It does a really great job of having that kind of fresh aspect of Vietnamese and adding that to the more Peruvian, like heavier or more rich entrees. So I personally really enjoyed it. And I've been thinking about going back and actually taking my kiddos. They really love Asian food. And so I think that they'll enjoy kind of the mixture of both of those cuisines.
You know, this was more of a mixed bag for me. I think mm-hmm. I like some of what they're doing here. Certainly the ceviche, you know, a gold standard, of course, for any mm-hmm. for any Peruvian restaurant. And this was spot on, right? The mm-hmm. the leche de tigre was bright and tart and just went with the fish so well. Mm-hmm. And I think this idea of mashing these two cuisines up together does very well with like the shaking lomo saltado. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, like a riff on shaking beef or bo luk lak from the Vietnamese side, and lomo saltado, which is, you know, stir fried beef with rice, and so they're kind of the same dish, and so, you know, adding a little bit of like, you know, a splash of fish sauce or, you know, other like Vietnamese type seasonings with the Peruvian preparation, I thought that was great. The one thing, and I'll say, like, I really like we did the mussels, which is in kind of a beer and wine broth. Super tasty. So I think there's definitely stuff to like here. The one thing they kind of missed for me is, and I don't see it on the menu, so maybe it's online, so maybe it's come off, but there was a shrimp dish, and I should send you this picture because there were three tiny little shrimp, and the broth was kind of bland. And it's like, I mean, if you're going to give me like a Vietnamese shrimp dish, like I want to taste the sour. I want to taste the spice. I want all of those things. Mm-hmm. And I should say my friend that I ate there with was super happy with it. And I just couldn't get into it. So, you know, that was, you know, I just feel like there's like some tweaking to be done. And so, you know, now I feel like maybe I have to go back and try some of these dishes that are new on the menu just to see how this restaurant is evolving.
Yeah, no. And I think that they are still evolving and finding their feet. I've actually talked to the owner a couple of times just over social media, and he invited me in again to try their newest iteration of their menu. One of the interesting dishes, which I'm not actually really sure if it's not Peruvian and it's not Vietnamese, but they have a chicken Milanese there. And as I've said before, I'm not a big chicken person, but my mom really wanted to order it. She's who I went with. And it was delightful. The glaze that they put on the chicken with the sesame seeds was just perfectly like that perfect bite of crispy, but then also very, very savory. So that's something that I think as they continue to find their feet and find their voice and determine what really works for them and their audience, I'm just excited to see what comes from it.
No, I think that's fair. And I think there were some compelling flavors on that menu. And you know, they were very friendly. They were very cordial. You know, this was not an invite. This was just, I made a reservation. I showed up with a friend. We had a good time, but you know, there was an octopus dish that just missed for me. It wasn't cooked in the way that I expected. It wasn't as like mm-hmm. firm and meaty tasting as I sort of expect octopus to be. Mm-hmm. And frankly, we took a couple bites and then kind of passed on the rest of it. So,
yeah,
you know, I think there were sort of highs and lows, and I think that happens sometimes with newer places still kind of finding their footing. You know, more than anything, I'll say that it kind of made me want to go to like Pacha Nike, the Japanese Peruvian fusion restaurant in West Houston, because it's been a minute, and because I know like I'll have a great meal there, and I'm not sure that I'll have a like based on one experience, which I know is not definitive, but I don't feel like I'll have a great meal at Alora, but I'm open to going back. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to get in there, but you know, all it takes, I'm a soft touch, right? All it takes is someone DMing me and being like, hey, let's go try this place. And then, you know, I'm right back in.
All right, Eric, let's go try this place. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, if they're buying you, if they're buying you dinner a second time, yeah, I'll be delighted to go on their dime.
Perfect. We can absolutely do it. You know me, I am a pushover for anybody who's incredibly nice to me. So I'm always happy to support restaurant owners who are kind. So yeah, I'm excited to see what happens with it. But I agree with you that Kitchen Rumors is probably one of the best restaurants that I have been to this year so far. So,
all right. Well, that seems like a good place to wrap this up. That does it for the Restaurants of the Week. Brianna McLean, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guest will be Joseph Boudreau from Boost Brothers.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.